Okay, so first of all, big Ashukach to Josh Joseph for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. Bez Hashem. It should be a Swiss for him. Okila. All of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we spent the past few weeks sort of making achanas and learning a little bit about sort of the general picture of the Shofet Gidoin and the Avaida and the Tikkunim that was taking place through Gidoin. So I think with that background, we could be able to mamish learn some Navi a little bit. So what you have in front of you is double-sided. So don't get too worried about it. We're not going to see everything over here. But one side of the page is the Perek in Navi, Perek Vav. It's not the whole Perek, but most of it. And the other side is some Aramakimus that we'll see. So again, the kitzur, what we saw is that the Inyan of Gidoin and the Gola / Geula that Gidoin was working with was being Poyel, was the name of bringing Klal Yisrael to that Madrega that's called Panim Epanim, Emes. Emes take Panim Epanim. Zinin of Neshika, undermining the Avodah Zarah of Baal, getting us to the Madrega, connecting to the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, Peah Peah Dabarboy, being Misakin the Pagam of Dina with Shechem, of sort of doubling down on the efforts of Moshe Rabbeinu to kill the Mitzri, the women of Midian, all those in Yonam. Again, I'm just giving Rashi Prakim, but Kitzer, it comes out to the Nakuda that Gidoin is poiled, the Madrega of Panim means that all there is Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and there's no rift, there's no hairline fracture between our relationship, is Mamish, an Achdus, a union, the only name that the Rabbeinu Shalom knows, like, you know, on Hashem's phone, like the only contact that there is Yisrael. That's the only contact. Yes, I saw a word from the Arachayim of Kaddish in Parshas Ve'era. So it says a pasuk. I'm going to butcher it, but the pasuk says something like that. Hashem says that through the Makis, I'm going to take out Tzivoisai, my armies, as Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. So the Arachayim of Kaddish asks, what does it mean? Hashem says, as Tzivoisai, my army, as Bnei Yisrael. Either say Bnei Yisrael, say Tzivos Yisrael, what does it mean? Tzivosai es Bnei Yisrael. So said the Arachayim HaKadosh, he said that Hashem has many armies. Hashem has many battalions, right? There's Malachim, Srafim, Chayis, HaKadosh, Shefanim, there's all different Zachin. And Klal Yisrael is one of Hashem's battalions. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, the Pasuk is saying not like that. Hashem says Tzivosai. As far as I'm concerned, the only army that I have is Knesset Yisrael. Tzivosai es Bnei Yisrael. That's it. So that's a Madrega of Pan B'Pan. That's Madrega Panapana, where there is nothing else but that. That's, again, that's what we mentioned. We were talking about this Bariches, that Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri. The Mitzri who stared Shalom Bayis with Shlomis Bas Divri, right? That was the only situation in Mitzrayim where there was an infiltration in Shalom Bayis. Making a rift between husband and wife was because of that Mitzri. And Moshe Rabbeinu kills him as a hachana for him to go to Midian to undermine the klipa of Midian, which is this klipa. So Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri by eradicating his name. Because again, that's the Indian, that to make such a matzav where the only name that exists is Hashem's name and the Jewish people's name. Elish Shmais Bnei Yisrael. We'll talk about this by Riches. Okay, so let's get back to it. So take a look at the page of Navi that you have. So we'll just run through a little bit quickly. Maybe I'll make a few comments a little bit just to see how these pieces come together over here. But let's just go through it quickly. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael harab b'nei Hashem. Again, the Jewish people do that which is negative in the eyes of Hashem, which is, again, the usual model in Sefer Shoftim. That's how it starts. V'yidnei Hashem b'yad Midyan shevashonim, and the Jewish people fall into the hands of Midyan for 7 years. 7 years. That's also, by the way, it's also not a coincidence that it's 7 years. Seven, you know, in Torah numbers, there's all different numbers that are significant. So there are two numbers that indicate a certain level of shleimus, of perfection. Seven is a number that represents perfection. Hashem created the world in 7 days, v'chulu, right? And there's another number that sort of represents shleimus and perfection. That's the number 10. What's the difference between 7 and 10? Seven represents, so in the language of our relationship with Hashem, we'll talk about it in that. So in our relationship with Hashem, the relationship of seven means it's good. It's good, you know. But there's a hairline fracture. It's called achar b'achar, back to back. Seven means it's good, it's gevaldik, the Rabbanu Shalom, like we're on the same page and everything's gevaldik, but it could be something else. It's not, but it could be something else. 10 means absolute perfection. 10 means there's no mechitza, there's no separation at all. It's the side of Abba v'Ima, right? Seven is like the secret of Zachar Nekeva, Zerampin and Ukva, which is sometimes face-to-face, sometimes not, which means even when they are face-to-face, there's a possibility of not being face-to-face, which is not 100% face-to-face. And then 10 means Abba v'Ima. Again, why 7 and 10 is like this, that I'm not explaining right now. But that's the Kleep of Midyan, which is to hold the Jewish people back from getting that Madrig of Abba v'Ima, face-to-face, of absolute Shlemus, which is the number 10. So we fall into the hands of Midyan for 7 years. V'toz yad Midyan al Yisrael. And the Midyanim, the interesting language the Pasuk uses, that the hand of Midyan, of the Jewish people, was brazenly abusive on the Jewish people. It's like a certain azus, a certain chutzpah, which that's this cleav of Midyan, right? The cleav of Midyan is, there's Shalom Bayis as a husband and wife, Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people are on good terms, and all of a sudden you're coming to Mish and to infiltrate. It's one thing if there was a terrible situation, you know, there's no Shalom Bayis, okay. But over here, everything is good, supposedly, and you come to Shter, that's Chutzpah. So, V'toz Yad Midyan al Yisrael. And B'nei Midyan, it's interesting, because of the Midyanim, also Lem B'nei Yisrael, Esam Min Horois Asher Baharim, V'esam Horois, V'esam Matzadas. It sounds like it was very difficult. The Midyanim were very difficult, and because of the Jewish people had made these like cellars or caves that the Jews would hide in. Like when Minyanim would come by, it was a dangerous thing for a Yid to be on the streets if there was a Midyan guy there, whatever it is. So they would like run into, they had these hiding places, these cellars. Minhares comes to the word like a nair. It would be like a dark place. They would have to like light a candle to hide. Things like this. V'ayim Zar Yisrael, and if the Jewish people planted and produced grain, V'ala Midyan, V'amolek, U'b'nei Kedem, V'ala Olav. Then the Midyan, and tagging along was Amalek and B'nei Kedem, the people of the east. They would also come and they would take the produce, V'yachnu Aleim, V'yashchisu, and so on and so forth. It continues on like this. Again, I want to be able to move a little bit. So go to Pasuk Zion. You see the beginning of the line, Zion? Yeah. So fine. So that's the situation. So it's we're in Galus Midyan for 7 years. V'ayhi. So when it was Kizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people begin to call out to Hashem, Aloydes Minyan, because of Midyan. So we begin to do tshuva. We begin to, now the Pasuk says that we called out to Hashem because of Midyan, which means that despite that we turned our attention towards Hashem, which is always the beginning of the solution, but the Jewish people weren't identifying the issue with themselves yet. They weren't doing tshuva. This is more davening to Hashem that this tsar of Midyan should go away. Yeah, the Tsar of Midian is because of our personal Averis. So really the point is to daven in a context of tshuva. But we weren't holding there yet. So, but we at least we started turning to Hashem. So the Pasuk says, V'yishlach Hashem ish Navi el b'nei Yisrael, that Hashem sent a Navi to Klal Yisrael to give them words of Musar. V'yomer lehem, and he says to them, Koyamar Hashem elokei Yisrael, Anoichi ha'leis yeschem Mitzrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I took you out of slavery. And I saved you from the Egyptians, and all those that oppressed you. And I banished all of your oppressors from before you in Eretz Yisrael. And I gave you their land. And I told you, I am Hashem your God. Don't fear, don't serve any of these other gods, Ashratam Yeshem Ba'artsim, that you're living in, you know, in the country, the Canaan that used to live here had these gods. You didn't listen. So in other words, so the Navi is being sent to give them words of Musa. Like you're calling to Hashem that the Midyanim should go away, but understand, it's coming from an issue of Avodah Zarah, of Baal in particular, that you're struggling with. So you have to do tshuva on that. Who is this Navi? So the truth is, in Chazal, the tradition is that this was Pinchas. Pinchas lives. So Pinchas was the Navi that was sent. Now this is not a coincidence, right? You remember by Midyan, right, when the Jewish people were struggling with the women of Midyan, who was the one that stopped the Tiyatzin Ragefa, who stopped, who it was Pinchas, right? So the same Indian of Midyan that's returning, that's re-emerging in this, again, this Klipa, which again, Moshe Rabbeinu began to demolish with killing the Mitzri and being Megayer Yisroi and so on. But when the women of Midian come and cause these big issues, so Pinchas Baroishan takes care of it. So Pinchas over here as well comes to sort of steer the davening of the Jewish people in the context of tshuva.
There's also some of Yisrael. Huh? He was also son-in-law.
He was also descendant. Yeah.
Son-in-law.
Grandson. His mother came from. So he says like this. Fine. So now, cut scene. The scene now moves to a particular location. Now we're introduced to Gideon. Vayavi Malach Hashem, a Malach of Hashem comes, a Malach. Vayeshev Tachas Ha'ela Asher Ba'afra, and this Malach is sitting under a certain type of tree in a place that's called Afra, and this property was Asher LeYoyash Avi Ha'ezri. This is property owned by a person named Yoyash, who came from the family of Avi Ha'ezri. That's one of the families of Menashe. V'Gidon Benoi, and Gidon, Yoyash's son, is Chayvet Chitin Bagas. So again, so this Malach appears in this location, the property of Yoyash, and who's there? So Gidon, Yoyash's son, is threshing the grain. Lahanis with name Midyan, to hide it from the Midyanim, because the Midyanim were not allowing produce to be properly distributed by the Yidden. So the Gidon is being Meisr Nefesh, to thresh grain, to prepare the grain for Klal Yisrael. So the Malach appears again on this property, Gidon's father's land. Vayera Elav Malach Hashem, and a Malach appears to him. This Malach appears to Gidon. Vayomer Elav, and he says, Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChayil. Hashem is with you, white mighty warrior. So Vayomer Elav Gidon. So Gidon says to the Malach, Biadaini, you know, with all due respect, Vayesh Hashem Imanu. You tell me Hashem is with me. I couldn't care less. Vayesh Hashem Imanu, is Hashem with us? Why has all this happened to us? Where is all the wonders that our parents told us? This was Pesach, right? This was happening. This is the first day of Chol Hamoed. So just the other night, he was sitting by the Seder and he heard all the, you know, the story of Yitzis Mitzrayim. And now Hashem has forsaken us. So the Malach is like, you know, I was just trying to give you a compliment. But then, like we mentioned, the Indian of Gidon right now is saying, being Malamit Zchus on Klal Yisrael, right? He's saying that, you know, look at the juxtaposition. A moment before, the Navi that was sent, Pinchas, comes to give Musar to Klal Yisrael and tell them, this is all happening because it's your fault, and you're doing Avodah Zarah, and you forsook Hashem, and so on. And then, like, cut scene, you get to Gidon, and Gidon has this conversation with the Malach that no one else is hearing. But Gidon has this conversation with the Malach. The Malach says, "Hashem is with me." He's like, "Hashem is with me." Where is Hashem helping the Jewish? The Jews were tzaddikim, amichul and tzaddikim. They're gevaldik. They deserve all the miracles of Yitzis Mitzrayim. Like, what's going on over here? And so v'yifin el of Hashem. So now Hashem talks to Gidon. I don't know if a nevuah. I guess he had a private nevuah. V'yomer, and Hashem says to Gidon, "Leich b'chachacha zeh." Oh. Go with this strength, like I mentioned last time that you said, Yumalamit Sanagar, Yumalamit Schus on Klai. So go with that strength. That's going to be the Kayach. Vayishat es Yisrael Mekav Midyan. And rescue the Jewish people from Midyan. Halei Shalachticha. Behold, I've sent you. So you have Kayachas to do it. You have to do it. By the way, this is also connected with what I mentioned last time, that the secret of Abav Ima, this Madrig of real face to face, is connected to the Pasuk in Mishle. You mentioned that Toiva Toichachas Magula Miyahavim Musateris, right? That there's Musar on the outside, but inside of it is Kulei love, right? Techachas Megula v'Hav Musar. That's why he mentioned that the greatest sign of connection is where even on the outside it looks like it's not connection, it really is. Right? That's what he mentioned last time. That's Moshe Rabbeinu after killing the Mitzri, then he moves on to give Musar to Dasan v'Aviram. And Musar is, on the outside it seems like a disconnect, but it's Techachas Megula, with a Havim Musuteris. And that's the story over here, right? On the outside, what are the Jewish people hearing? They're hearing different Musar from Pinchas. But on the inside, what's a private conversation happening, when no one else knows about, is Gidon telling the Rabbanu Shalom that the Yidden are mamish, the most gavaldig thing in the world, and there's no problems at all. So again, it's Techachas Megula, Havim Musuteris, which is exactly, so Pinchas and Gidon are parting with each other. And so when you read the story, it might seem like it's a disconnect. Like Pinchas is you know, giving Musar and like, you know, and then Gidon like doesn't see what's going on. He's no, they're partying together. That's the ultimate madrega of Techachas Megula. That's coming from Ahav Musuteris.
The rabbi talked about bidding.
Yeah.
With around last week, 2 weeks ago. So
Yad
and
Yad
is
Koyach. Yad and Yad is Koyach. That Leich B'Chachachas Zeh. Very good. Yeah. Very good. That's what we mentioned that the Lama Sakariyacha, that the Yadayim is the secret of the Ahav Musuteris that's contained in the Musar. So that's why when, you know, that's what we mentioned last time. The Rama Paskins that if the if the one that's receiving the musar raises a hand to hit the mechiach, that means he's not getting the havim musateras. So it's not musar. So, so that's what's going on over here. So now, fine. Pasuk tezvav, yeah? So the pasuk continues. V'yarma elav. So now Gideon talks to Hashem. Now Gideon responds to Hashem. And he says, Be Hashem, please Hashem. But ma ishi es Yisrael. How could I save Kal Yisrael? Hine alfi hadal b'menashe. My family is the smallest and the weakest of all of Menashe. Right? He's coming from the family of Avi Ezri, which ironically means that my father is my help, right? But he said, like, my family is the weakest. And I'm the youngest of my family's house. So you're telling me to do it. So v'yarmer elav Hashem. Hashem says, no, ki ayimach, I'm going to be with you. Similar to how Hashem said to Moshe, ki ayimach, I'm going to be with you. V'kis es midyan ki ishacha. And you'll be able to get rid of midyan like it's one person. It's not going to be difficult. Okay, so now the pasuk continues, and this is what we're going to be focused on with some of the marmakamis. We'll see like this. V'yarmer elav. So Gidai now says, it's not clear who he's speaking to. But the way the Mefarshim explained, Vayomer, we'll see soon, Vayomer Elav means, and now Gideon talks to the Malach, right? So it's, again, until now there was like a little bit of a funny conversation, right? The Malach appears and talks to Gideon, and Gideon responds to the Malach by saying, like, what are you doing? Like, where's Hashem helping Kal Yisrael? Kal Yisrael is amazing. Then Hashem speaks to Gideon. Again, unclear exactly, does that mean he has own Nevuah, or now that was also communication from the Malach? Again, unclear, but whatever it is. Hashem tells Gideon, okay, Lech B'chazer Givaldik, you said good things, you're going to be the Mashiach, you're going to be the Redeemer, and that's what you do. So now Gideon talks to the Malach, and he says the following thing, V'yom Eilav, Imna Mitzasi Chein Bainecha, if I found favor in your eyes, V'asisi Li Ois Sha'ata Midaber Imi, then give me a sign that you're speaking to me. Okay, what does that mean exactly? We'll see soon. So what's the sign? So Al Nasamush Mizeh, so he tells the Malach, wait, this will be the sign. You wait here while I go in. Ad Boy Elecha, until I come back. I'm going to bring an offering. I'm going to bring a mincha. I'm going to bring some sort of gift, a food, and I'm going to place it in front of you. And that'll be the sign, if you take it or not. That'll be the sign to indicate whether you're speaking to me. Okay? So the Malach says, fine. Anochi Eshev Atshuvecha. I'll wait until you come back. Gideon ba, so I don't know how long it took, but Gideon comes back. Vayas gidi izim, he has a goat. He shechted a goat. He prepared a goat. The efas kemach matzes, and an efa of matzah. Like I mentioned, it was Pesach, so he has an efa. He has matzah and this gidi. Habasar sam basal, the meat he puts in a basket. The hamorik sam beforor, the juice, the soup, whatever it is, the sauce he puts in a, like a pan. The yoytze elav, and he says the meat, you know, the juice of it, and the matzahs, and he brings it to the malach. The yoytze elav, and he brings it out to him. Al tachas ola, under this tree. Vayigash, and he presents it to the malach. The yarmer elav malach olakim, and the malach says to Gideon, kachas abasar vesa matzahs. Take the basar and the matzahs. Vahanach elasela halaz. Put it on this rock. I guess there was a rock over there. The samarik shvoich, and pour the merik, the liquid on top. Vayaskein, that's what Gideon does. Vayishlach malach Hashem es ktzei hamishenes asher biyodai. The malach again. The malach is in a sort of vestige of a human being. It has like is appearing like a human. So the malach takes the walking stick, the end of the walking stick that he was carrying, and he takes the end of it. Vayiga b'basar matzis, and he touches to the meat and the matzis. Vatal ha'ish menatzur, and the fire emerges out of the rock. Vatoichel sabasar matzis, it consumes all the food and everything. Umalach Hashem halach meinav, and the malach disappears in the fire. Just okay. So that was a sign that's a thumbs up. That was this meant that the sign worked, and it proved that sha'at medaber imi, that you're speaking to me. Again, we don't know what exactly the question was, but whatever the question was, the answer was a resounding yes. Vayar malach, vayar gidon ki malach Hashem hu. Malach, the gidon sees that it was a malach of Hashem. Until now it was a malach of Hashem. Okay, now he sees it was a malach of Hashem. Okay. Vayomer Gidon, and Gidon says, aha, says, like, oh my gosh, Hashem Elokim, Kialkin Reisi Malach Hashem, Ponim Oponim. I just saw Malach of Hashem face to face. You see the reference to face to Ponim Oponim. Another reason he's afraid that he's going to be killed from this, or it's going to be overwhelming. He doesn't have the kalim for such an experience. Vayomer Loi Hashem, so Hashem talks to him with Nevuah, and Hashem says, Shalom Locha. It's going to be, it's, you have peace, don't worry. Al Tira, Loi Thomas. Be fine. Vayiven sham Gidon mizbeach l'Hashem. So Gidon builds a mizbeach. V'yikra loy, and he calls on the mizbeach Hashem Shalom. Hashem Shalom. Ad hayom hazeh, and that's until this day. Aydenu ba'ofras avi hezri. It's still in that place. Okay. By the way, Chazal say that, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this idea that Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. Chazal say such a thing that Shalom is Shmoy Shagosh Baruch. It's sourced from this pasuk. V'yikra loy Hashem Shalom. So this is in Tanakh. This is the source that the word Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. That's the Maisa. Okay. So what's going on here? Let's go back. So what was Gidon's again? So Gidon has this. The Malach appears to Gidon, "You're Gavald, get Tzadik," and he says, "I couldn't care less about that. I want the Rav Hashem to save Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael Gavald, get Tzadikim." And Hashem says, "That's great. You go with that. You're going to save Klal Yisrael." Gidon says to the Malach, and he says, "Who am I?" Blah, blah, blah. Hashem says, no, you can do it. Okay, fine. And then Gidon returns to the Malach, and he says, "I need a sign that you're talking to me." And then this whole thing with the carbon, whatever. So what's going on here? So take a look at the other side. So if you take a look at Marmukah number one, so the Malbim over there, the Malbim explains, like, what was this conversation? What's this sign? What's going on over here? So he says like this, Shenestapik. What Gidon gets the message. So I'm going to save Klal Yisrael, fine. But the Gidon had a shaila. The shaila was, Imhoi adibur me'ashem ba'atzmoi b'loi imtzoi. Again, I don't know. Evidently, when a malach appears to somebody, it could be in two ways. It could either be that the malach is conveying a message that the malach received from Hashem. So the person getting information from the malach is not hearing it kivyachal from Hashem through the malach. Hashem talked to the malach, and the malach tells the malach. So that's one way. Huh? Like the malach is like a nazi. Yeah, that's one way. That's one. Another model is, no, that the name of Hashem kivyachol is speaking through the malach. And the malach is a mavar, is like a pipe, a channel through which the Ribbono Shel Olam is communicating. This was Gidon's suffik. Evidently, it's something that maybe is not so clear in the Nevuah experience or the malach revelation experience. So he's asking, Gidon is asking, are you speaking to me? He's asking of Hashem, like, who's talking to me right now? Is the malach telling me in the name of Hashem, or is Hashem communicating to me through the malach? What's the nafkamina? So he says like this, Shenestapik. The suffik of Gidon was, Imoya dibur me Hashem ba'atzmoi b'loi emtzoi. Is Hashem speaking to me without the middleman? And is Hashem communicating? Shazem Moira, if that's the case, if Hashem is talking to me through the malach, and the malach is like just sort of an empty, you know, channel, Zem Moira al Tshua Nisus. That's an indication that the miracle that the Yeshua, the salvation that I'm going to bring through me, is going to be al pines. She'ein tzarech ima amra v'chayil, and it doesn't need a huge amount of armies. It's just going to be b'derech lamal b'derech hateva. That would be, if the message to me is coming from Hashem through a malach, but not the malach, it's Hashem through the malach, then that would mean that the Yeshua that's coming is going to be also l'mal b'derech hatav. Or maybe, maybe a malach is talking to me, something that it received from Hashem. Sha'oz gam ha'tshua tiyeh b'emtzusai. In which case, the Yeshua is also going to be through, like, nature, and the derech hateva, which is the system of malachim, right? So the system of malachim is like sort of a derech hateva. So how is this? Shezem mayor al tshua ideyem tzoyim, tivyim, which would indicate that Yeshua is going to be through natural means and so on, ide roiv am, through many soldiers, a molchama. So that was the question. Vizesh amar, so that, so again, that's what he's asking. That's what he's asking, whether or not, there was a lashon of the pasuk, so Pasuk Yud Zayin was V'yarma Elav, Imno Mitzasi Chein Beinecha. If I found favor in your eyes, Vasisili Ois, give me a sign, She'ata Medaber Imi, that you are speaking. And he's talking to Hashem, that if I found Chein in your eyes, then give me a sign that you're talking to me through the Malach, not that a Malach is talking to me in your name. What does it mean, Mitzasi Chein Beinecha? What does it have to do with Chein? So the Malbim says like this, V'zesh Omer HaKosav. v'zesh amr imnam etzasi chen beinecha shezesh sheyelch Hashem ba'atzmai bekirbam. This idiom of Hashem going himself kviyachol with Klal Yisrael b'loyim tzay without any intermediaries. Moira al metzias. That's a mistake. Al metzias achen. That indicates that the Jewish people and Gidlein representing them have found chen in Hashem's eyes. K'maisha kasev. How do I know that chen? That when Hashem, when Klal Yisrael have chen in Hashem's eyes, it means that Hashem is directly. He's not sending any shluchim. It's the Rabbanu Shlom himself. K'maisha kasev. Because in Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the aftermath of the Egel and you know the tshuva and all that, Yudgum Tzarachim. So over there, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu davened, "Imna Matzasi Chen Beinecha," right? Hashem, if I found favor in your eyes, Yelech Na Hashem Bekirbeinu, then you should go amongst us. In other words, that you shouldn't send a malach to guide, because Hashem was threatening that after the Chet Egel, now just the malach will lead Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe said, "No." And the pasuk continues there. And how? What's the sign? This is Moshe Rabbeinu talking. What's the sign that I'll find favor in your eyes? That I found chen in your eyes? If you yourself come with us, and so that's what's going on over here. So in Cain, it's a mistake. Habakashas oisal zeh. So that's the sign that Gideon is asking for as well. That Hashem, you're talking to me directly, which means that the Nes is going to happen. L'mamay derech hateva, directly from Hashem, which means that I found favor in your eyes. That's what I want to find out. And what was the sign? So the sign was that Gideon is going to present this food or whatever it is, and we'll see like what happens. Why is that a thing? So he says like this. It's going to be through this offering. Why? So he says like this. Shimu rak shliach b'malachas Hashem ve'en adoy nevitai. If this is just a malach talking, and he's not embodying kiviyachol the Shechina, and it's not Hashem kiviyachol, it's just a malach. Lo yikach oylo mincha. Then a malach is not going to take an offering. The malach is not allowed to do that. That's an aveir. It's kamata v'idizar to do such a thing. So malach is not going to take a carbon, so to speak, if he's just functioning as a malach. So he says, a little bit typos. So if he's just a malach, oz, then what's going to happen is, oy yimna malakachta, either he'll refuse to take it, because he's just a malach, oy yoichlena k'maysh os malachi Avram, or he'll just sit down to eat it, like the malachim did with Avram Avinu. It's not going to be with like a fire and a carbon. It's not going to be like that, because he's just a malach. He's not going to allow it to be a carbon to him. But if he takes it as a sacrifice, which is what happened, right? Puts the walking stick and the thing becomes consumed in fire. So that's a sign that Hashem is, that it's not a malach, it's Hashem kiviyachol, through the malach. And then obviously a carbon is appropriate. And so that's the story. That's how the Malbim explains it. So again, right away we see some touching points. So again, this whole inion of why is like this? Why does Gideon care? Okay, fine. So the Gideon has a shaila. He wants to know, like, how is this happening? Is this Hashem himself directly? Is this like Hashem to Malach to me? Yeah. So the nafkamin is big army, small army, whatever. You wait for instructions. You'll get the instructions later on. The pasuk does tell us that Hashem. That Hashem instructed Gideon how many numbers of soldiers to take. So, like, the information will come. Like, what do you? So, what does he care about? And what is this? Why is this shaykh to the side of Gideon? The answer is that's this inyan. If Hashem is sending the whole inyan of the geula that Gideon brings is to bring Klal Yisrael to that madrega of ponim b'ponim, face to face, no intermediaries, no other name but Hashem. And the Jewish people, that's it. So that's what Gideon is trying to clarify over here. He's trying to concretize this inyan, is that the geula that he's bringing has to be a geula which results in all there is Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, and nothing in between, nothing can possibly get in between. The whole cleave of Midian is in it, like something wedging itself in between that relationship of Hashem and the Jewish people. So that's what Gideon is trying to clarify. If my avoda is to break that cleave of Midian, and to remove any space in between Hashem and the Jewish people, then obviously the Yeshua has to be in such a way where it's not with a space in between, right? If it's Hashem talking to the Malach and the Malach talking to me, that's not like when if a husband and wife have to communicate through a third party, that's not exactly I Shalom Bayis, yeah? So that's the same thing over here. It's like if there has to be an intermediary, then that's not, that's the whole inyan of Gidon is to bring us that place of Moshe is Peh El Peh Adar Boy, but Marav Eloi Bechidas. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim and in Perusha Mishnah that the Madrega, the difference between Moshe's Nevuah, which was Peh El Peh, versus other Nevi'im, is that other Nevi'im had communications through Malachim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not like that. It was Hashem himself without any Malach in between. That's the whole Metzius of Pe'al Pe'av Neshika, of a kiss, of Pe'al Pe'av Darabai. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what Gideon is asking for. Again, that's why, again, going back, remember, the inyan of Gideon really goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu killing the Mitzri, right? Remember that, right? Kill the Mitzri. Mitzri interferes. The Mitzri wedges himself, kiviyochel, between a husband and wife. The whole inner of killing the Mitzri. Remember last week, what was the shame kodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu used to kill the Mitzri? Nun gimel dalet yud chav shin, right? Yud chav shin, mi samcha le'ish sar v'shoifet aleinu, right? Mi samcha le'ish is yud chav shin. That's the name that he used, the name of Hashem, to eradicate the name of the Mitzri. And what did Arizal say? That the full stature of that name with Nun Gimel Dalet is going to be used L'Asid Lavoi when any shter, any blockage between Hashem and the Jewish people will be removed, right? With the name Nun Gimel Dalet and Yud Chav Shin. And what was the remez? That Nun Gimel Dalet is that name to completely remove any intermediary between Hashem and the Jewish people. It was the pasuk that the Malbim is referencing over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem, and he davens that you should come and lead us to Eretz Yisrael, not with a malach. So Hashem responds. Well, how does Hashem respond? Hashem says, "Yes, I agree. You found favor in my eyes. I'll lead you, not a malach." And then Hashem says, "Neged kol amcha esen eflois." Neged kol amcha esen eflois. The Rizal said, "Neged nun gimel dal." That's a reference to this name of Hashem. And Hashem is saying that l'asid lovei, the name that you used to kill the Mitzri, will be fully developed, and you'll be able to obliterate all the enemies, the names of the enemies of the Jewish people as well. Again, that's what's going on over here. Again, that whole request of Moshe, that Hashem shall lead us without an intermediary, which is what Gideon is trying to concretize by his gula as well, is an inyan, a face-to-face, no intermediaries, just Hashem and the Jewish people, no one else, no other name but Hashem and the Jewish people. And the full stature of that is with the name Nun Gimel Dalet, which Hashem references in that conversation with Moshe. So it's all the same. That's the name of Chaim. What is Chaim? So Reb Nachman, and the first piece in Likutei Moran, Reb Nachman talks about the name of Chaim. Reb Nachman has a lashon over there that Chaim is really Chaim really means Chaim. The word Chaim captures this inyan of Reb Nachman says when a Yid walks through life, goes through life, and sees every experience as Hashem talking to him. Not like, yeah, Hashem made the world, and the world, I'm experiencing the world. No. All there is no world. All there is the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to you. And anything that you experience is some means of communication between the Ribbono Shel Olam and you. That's it. Says Rav Nachman, the first piece of Quran, then that yid is b'chaint. That yid has chaint. Because chaint means, ches means chachma, it means Hashem communicating. And nun means the experiences of life. When you go through the experiences of life and all that you hear is Hashem talking to you, not Hashem made a world which is a malach and the malach is talking to you. All there is Hashem talking to you, that's chayin. That's chayin. Rav Nachman over there talks about that chayin is by the goyim, and the more a yid lives with this madrig of chayin, the more that you take the chayin from the goyim and you bring it to Klal Yisrael, the separating between Klal Yisrael and the Masayim, it's all that sugya. It's all the sugya. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that it should, that Hashem should lead us, and we saw last time that part of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not just that Hashem should lead us, but that His Shechina should only be amongst Klal Yisrael, and the Shechina should not reside by the Masayim. That should be mamish heinam levadad yishkon. That inyan is called finding chayin, and that's exactly what Gideon is looking for as well. By the way, what's interesting is that madrega of revelation, of When Hashem says, yes, you know what I mean? I'm going to lead you into Eretz Yisrael, and the Shekhinah is only going to be, my presence is only going to be by Klal Yisrael, not by the Goyim. Like, whatever you're asking for, Moshe Rabbeinu, you want, the answer is yes. So then what happens? Then Hashem, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, okay, I got a, it's an Esrotzen over here. So then Moshe says, I want to see your glory. Hareinos Kvaidecha. So Hashem says, okay, so I can't do it 100%, says Hashem basically, but we can do, we'll do the best we can, which is, you're going to go into a crevice, into a dark little spot, a little crack, and I'm going to pass by, and you'll be able to experience whatever you can. And that was the scene where Hashem revealed the Yud Gimel Yitzhar Rachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. What are the Yud Gimel Yitzhar Rachamim? The whole inner Yud Gimel Yitzhar Rachamim is that all there is Hashem and the Jewish people. Why? Because what does Rachamim mean? Rachamim means that they don't deserve it. The Jew did something wrong, right? We say Slichas, right? You say, what are you daven for the Yud Gimel Yitzhar Rachamim? It's like, I talk, I don't necessarily deserve everything I'm asking for, but Hashem have rachmanis. What type of business is that? So, like I mentioned last week, that's the end of the camps of the degolim. Like I said jokingly, but it's really the truth. If it's just Adam and Chava, right? Then, if Chava says something that upsets Adam, Adam says something that upsets Chava. I'm sorry, guys. Like, figure it out. You have no choice but to figure it out, right? So you have to be meichel. Like, Adam has to be mevater. Chava has to be mevater because there's no other option. There's no other options. So that's what the Gimel Rachamim is. So Klal Yisrael, we're not doing the right thing. We're not doing 100%. So, but yes, but you know what? Despite all of that, Hashem should be Meichel. Why? The answer is because there's no other game in town. Like, that's it. So it's just us. So you have no choice. For your own sake. For your own sake, Hashem. So the Gimel Rachamim is coming from that conversation of Moshe with Hashem, which is clarify that all there is in your context, the only name that you have is Knesset Yisrael, and that expresses itself with your willingness, kivyochol, to be mevater and to be meichel and to be patient. Because, like, okay, what are you supposed to do? So the Yugim is Rach. So, but think. Why am I saying this? You'll see soon why I'm saying this. Also, but what was the scene in which Moshe Rabbeinu was able to experience the Yugim is Rachman, where the full stature, face to face, of the exclusivity of the Jewish people, the only name that Hashem knows, the only game in town is Klal Yisrael. What was the scene? The scene was Moshe is in this like dark cellar, right? This rocky outcrop, and a little ray of light is entering into the place. What was the scene? How did the Pasuk describe the Golos of Midian over here? The Jewish people, because of Midian, they forced themselves, they're in cellars with little dark areas, with a little candle of light, a little crack in the cave. Golos always reflects Gula, right? Golus is always just the negative, the ugly version of what Gula is, the beautiful version of it. Since the Golus of Midian was in order to propel the Jewish people to that Madrega of face to face, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a Matsasi Chen Beinecha, which is a Yudim Mitzrachimim, so because of that, the Golus that preceded it was mimicking that scene in which that revelation takes place with Moshe Rabbeinu, but in an ugly, gaulistic way, which is Jewish people hiding in cellars. But that's all an underdeveloped version of what's going to be with the Gula, which is Umatzasi Chaim Beinecha. This is what Gidon is being piled. But let's go a little bit deeper. So what's the ice? So again, so what's this? So the specific ice that Gidon uses. The specific ice that Gidon uses in order to prove this is by offering a mincha, offering a carbon, right? And that's the chap, right? That's the Malbim said, it's a chap, right? Because if it's taka just the malach, he's not going to take it. But if it's the Rabbanu Shlom through the malach, then he'll take it. But here's the problem. This was taking place during what period of time? This was taking place during Shiloh. There was a Mishkan in Shiloh. It's interesting. The halacha is, during Shiloh, you can't bring carbonus outside Shiloh. So it's like a very funny thing over here. It's like Gidon is assuming, right, that if it's a malach, he's not going to take the carbon, for sure. But if it's the Rabbanu Shlalom, he'll take it. Why would the Rabbanu Shlalom take it? It's not Shiloh. So you could say like technically, maybe Gidon wasn't in violation of anything because he's not bringing a carbon. He's just, I'm just putting it down over here and whatever happens, happens. So he wasn't, you know, the halacha, you can't shecht the carbon outside of Shiloh. Right? Nowadays, it's for sure outside the Beis Hamikdash area, but I'm saying even those days, you couldn't do it outside of Shiloh. And you're not even an animal that wasn't sacrificed as a korban, but halos chutz, you can't You can't whatever you know to sacrifice with fire. You can't be makir of a carbon like that either. So again, you can say technically Gidlin wasn't being makir of anything. He's just even the language of the pasuk. If you go through it, Gidlin says l'shinus of like, I'm just presenting it here. I'm not like wink wink. I'm just putting it down. So Hashem does what he wants. So maskin, but it's a funny thing. It's almost like this carbon, for it being accepted by the Rabbanu Shel Olam, is almost highlighting something missing in Shiloh, right? It's almost, because again, like, Shiloh is Shiloh. The fact that Hashem accepts the carbon outside Shiloh over here is indicating, like, Shiloh is Gevaldik, but it's not based on Migdash. So here, so.
He did it twice, with Shimshon also.
Shimshon also, yeah, Shimshon also. That, yeah. So when we even later on in the story of Gidon, there's such a thing. But it's Behairah Shah, the Gemara says in Temura, but over here it's like a funny thing. So let's explain. You know, here, we'll go like this. Take a look at Marmukah number 2. The first Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaVechira. So the Rambam defines for us what is a temple. Like, what is that? So the Rambam says like this. Mitzvah to say, Las is Bais Lashem. There's a mitzvah to build a house for Hashem. And what is the definition of a house for Hashem? A place that we bring karbonis. And a place that we're oiler regel to 3 times a year. Right? It says in Pasuk that 3 times a year there's a mitzvah to be oiler regel. Liroi says, Pnei ha'adin havaya, to see kiviyachal the face of Hashem. Yira, the yiroa, a face-to-face experience. Shenemar v'asli mikdash. So one of the defining features of base of a temple is that it's a place of panim upanim, a face-to-face. Was there a mitzvah of face-to-face alila regal in Shiloh? So the truth is, it's not so pashut. Take a look at Marmukah number 3, the Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Re'eh, the pasuk says. The pasuk is talking about the Beis Hamikdash and the actual Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. So the pasuk says, "B'mokam ashayivchar Hashem l'shakin shmoi sham." The pasuk is talking about that eventually you're going to find a place. Like again, the pasuk doesn't identify the location, but it was Yerushalayim. You're going to find a place, and over there I'm going to reside my name l'shakin shmoi sham for all time, and that's the Beis Hamikdash. So before you got to the Beis Hamikdash, we had, you know, obviously the Mishkan, the Midbar. You have Nov and Givine and Gilgal, Nov and Givine, you have Shiloh. But this description of Mokayim Asher Yivchar Hashem L'shaki and Shmo Yisham, that's based on Migdash. It says the Ramban, in Parshas Re over there, Oy Shivur Khan, it seems from this Pasuk, Shelo Yischai V'lalis L'regel, Ad Asher Yivchar Hashem Mokayim L'shach N'Yisham, that there was no Chiyah to be Oy L'regel until you got to Beis HaMikdash. So before Beis HaMikdash, even during Shiloh, there was no chiyuv to be oiler regel. There's no chiyuv to be oiler regel. That's the Ramban. Rashi also sounds like this. Rashi, Marmukah number 4, Rashi in Parshas Kisisa. The pasuk over there in Kisisa, again, also talking about the Beis HaMikdash, or referencing it. The pasuk says, V'rechavti es gvulcha. It's a pasuk talking about being oiler regel. And the pasuk says that I will expand your borders, you'll settle in the land, and you'll see me 3 times a year. Be oiler regel, says Rashi. Again, I'm not saying it's 100% solid with this Rashi, but it's mashm like this. Says Rashi. When the Beis HaBechira, Beis HaBechira means Beis HaMikdash, right? Rashi could have used other Lashonis. Rashi could have used Mishkan or Mikdash, whatever. Atarochim Beis HaBechira, says Rashi. You're going to be far from Beis HaMikdash. You're going to be spread out in Eretz Yisrael, right? The Ein Chayachal Liris Lefanai Tomid. You're not going to be able to always see me. So the indication is from Rashi also, it's much like the Ramban, that the mitzvah of being oiler regel only kicks in once there's a Beis HaBechira. Now you get to see Hashem 3 times a year, right? So, by the way, let's see, it's already, let's see. There is another, on the other side, on the other hand, there is mashmais, not like that. Take a look at Marmukah number 5. The Karen Oira is one of the Achrainim. So the Karen Oira in Maseches Vachim, Kuf Yud Ches Mem Beis. So in the Gemara's Vachim over there, Kuf Yud Ches Mem Beis, there's a Lashon. The Gemara says a Lashon, but Gimel Mekaymais Sharsa Shechina Al Yisrael. Again, the Gemara is vague, but the Gemara says such a Lashon that the Shechina, there were 3 places where the Shechina resided by Klal Yisrael. One of them is Mishkan Shiloh. So mikan nami mashma, the Keren Ari says from here it's mashma, the chiv aliyas l'regel hayagam b'mei noiv givoin, that even earlier mishkanais, noiv givoin, shilo, certainly, there was a chiv to be oil regel, kivan shayim makim shchina. Ubechlal b'makim ha-sheiv ha-shem, it's included in that category. Ukvar ksavtu le'el divi ha-ramam zal v'hilchas beis ha-vechira, mevur b'dvar zal ken. And it says the Keren Ari in the Rambam, it's also mashma like that. Again, so it's somewhat of a question, but I guess what I'll say is like this. In the Ramban and in Rashi, it seems that Mishkan, Shiloh, until the Beis HaMikdash, there's no chiva face-to-face. I'm saying this in parentheses. Even those Achrayim, and maybe the Rambam slightly is mashma like this also, that there was an inyan of the Oil Regel before the Beis HaMikdash, we find this in mitzvahs, but there's different madrigas. There's certain mitzvahs which can be fulfilled bishleimus, and then there's a mitzvah where it's not bishleimus. But so even if you hold that there was quote unquote a chiyuv to be oil regal before the Beis HaMikdash, it certainly wasn't bishleimus. The shleimus of the mitzvah being oil regal, as the Ramban and Rashi says, is dafka when it's Beis HaMikdash. Again, let's go back to what we're talking about. So what does it mean to be oil regal? The mitzvah of the regel says is liros is pnei ha'adin havayi, is to be able to see Hashem face to face. The ultimate so think about it. That's why the reason why being oil regel is dafka by Beis HaMikdash is because the Beis HaMikdash is eternal, like we mentioned last time, right? If there's a yichud of face to face, but it's not always, then that means even when it is face to face, it's not 100%. When there's a face-to-face, like Moshe Rabbeinu, means always. When there's face-to-face, mamash, like Abba V'ima, right? Abba V'ima is like, they're always on the same page. Turn rain, loy misparsh. When there's a full face-to-face, so that means it's going to be always. If it's not always, it's not 100% face-to-face. The Beis HaMikdash, which is always, right? Because no other place is, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's it forever, right? It's only that spot. Beis HaMikdash is eternal. When it's eternal, it means the punim upon him there is 100%.
Why you allowed to do bombings when Shiloh moved? You can
yeah,
do bombings.
Because after it wasn't 100%. Exactly, yeah, because Beis HaMikdash means real punim upon him, which is 100%. So let's go back. Gidon, again, what's the whole avodah of Gidon? The whole lineage of Gidon is to get the Jewish people to have Madrega face to face. So therefore, what's happening is, Davkin now, it's being highlighted how Shiloh is not face to face. How there's something missing in Mishkan Shiloh. Because in order to be zoicha to something, you first have to feel its loss. You have to feel what's missing first. If a person doesn't recognize something missing in their madrega of sometimes face-to-face, sometimes not, then they're not going to ever get the madrega of real face-to-face. So now, Beis HaMikdash equals panim b'panim. Everything that's not Beis HaMikdash is not panim b'panim. Even Mishkan Shiloh. So in order to get to Panim B'Panim, which is what Gidon is trying to be Payal, then what has to happen now is what has to become highlighted is that Mishkan Shiloh is not Panim B'Panim yet. And now that there's a sense of something missing in our relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom in the fact that we're not Panim B'Panim, now we can be Zaychet to Panim B'Panim because now there's Cheshek, there's Gaguim, there's a desire, there's moving for that. How do we highlight the fact that what does it mean? Again, Mishkan Shiloh is not Panim B'Panim. So therefore, the way that's brought out is by a carbon being accepted by the Rabbanu Shalom outside of Shiloh, almost as if Shiloh's like, yeah, it's not much of a Mishkan. Why is Mishkan Shiloh not much of a Mishkan over here? Because in terms of the context of Panim B'Panim, as we see in the midst of being Oil Regel, Shiloh is not Panim B'Panim yet, and the whole lineage of Gidon is to get Klal Yisrael to be Panim B'Panim. So in order to get to Panim B'Panim, you have to feel that you're not Panim B'Panim yet. And that will propel you to become Panim B'Panim. So it has to become highlighted that Mishkan Shiloh is not Panim B'Panim. That's the whole inyan. That's the same sug. You know, it's the removing the middleman, which is the Malach, and just Hashem and us, that's called Panim B'Panim. And since Mishkan Shiloh, there was no chiyuv to be Oil Regel, which means Mishkan Shiloh is not the Madrega of Panim B'Panim. So over here right now, the Mishkan Shiloh is being ignored. And the whole and a carbon is being sacrificed and being brought outside of Mishkan Shiloh because the whole inin right now is to get Klal Yisrael to recognize that whatever relationship you have with the Rabbanu Shalom, if there's a hairline fracture, that's not it, and you have to recognize the pain of that hairline fracture to allow yourself to get to a place of no hairline fracture. And so Mishkan Shiloh is gevaldik, but there's a hairline fracture. It's not really face to face yet. You can be oyla regel all you want, but it's not really oyla regel. It's not really the chiyah. The shlemus is not really there because there's a hairline fracture. And therefore, to highlight how we're missing real face-to-face, we're missing real Beis HaMikdash, a carbon is being brought completely ignoring Mishkan Shiloh, as if Mishkan Shiloh is completely insignificant with what we're really looking for, which is face-to-face. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. The shleimus of Eretz Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu said get to Eretz Yisrael, that means the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ultimate face-to-face. It's Beis HaMikdash being Oyel HaRegel three times a year. That's exactly what it is. It has to come from the absolute vacus. Yeah. If I tell you, be face-to-face with me, it's not. You know, that has to be wanted. So even the midbar, it's questionable. Maybe the midbar there was other regular unclear, but once he got into Eretz Yisrael, again, that's the discussion. The Ramban, Rashi, not until you have a base in Migdash.
Is that why it comes from the lowest of places, like after the Egel, etc.?
Yeah, because that's the that's the only way. It's the only way to not the only way, but that environment of. Of emptiness, that's where Ravon Shalom, that's ripe for face-to-face. But one last thing before we end. The last thing was, so as a response to all of this, so again, the sign was, the answer was yes, right? So the carbon was accepted. It means that Klai, it means it wasn't a Malach, it was a Ravon Shalom. And Shiloh was being ignored, which means that Klai Yisrael is ready for the real face-to-face, which is Beis HaMikdash, right? And as a response of all this, Gidon builds a Mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Shalom. Right? That was the last thing we saw. And Chazal say, over here was revealed that Hashem's name is Shalom. So what does the word Shalom have to do with anything?
Yerushalayim.
So it's also, yeah, Yerushalayim. Take a look at Marmok number 7. So say we have from Kilos Yaakov. Kilos Yaakov is from the Grimmel Kabbalah. It's like an index. Huh? Not the stipler. With a stipler, it's with a yud. Kilos Yaakov. This is Kehelos Yaakov, whatever. Kilos Yaakov. So this is like an index or an encyclopedia, whatever. It's like on the Aleph, it's with the Aleph Beis, whatever that's called, like an index. So under the word Shalom, Kelsey Yaakov says like this: Shalom, the word Shalom, Soid Yud Gimel Midas. The word Shalom is the secret of the Yud Gimel Sirachman. How do I know? Yud Gimel Pamim Ayin Beis. So okay. I mentioned this many times, the name of Hashem can be spelled out in full in many ways, right? So the name of Hashem that's spelled out, the highest way, the biggest madrega to spell the name of Hashem, Yud Vav Dalet Yud, Hey Yud Hey, right? Vav Yud Vav Vav, and Hey Yud Hey, right? That's Yud Ke Vav Ke. That equals 72. We spell all the letters. It's 72. 13 times 72. So that means the Yud means, again, This is from the Arizal, that every one of the Yud Gimel Rachamim, even though it's Hashem, it's the Yud Gimel are Kel, Racham, the Chanun, but behind the scenes of Kel is Yud Kevavke, behind the scenes of Chanun is Yud Kevavke. So it's really 13 Yud Kevavkes, and each Yud Kevavke is Mamish in the highest Madrega, which is spelled out as 72. 13 times 72 equals Begmashu, the word Shalom. You're thinking to yourself, one second, Shalom, that doesn't work? It does. Take a look. So he says like this. Shemem Stuma, he tough reish. So when you, the Benatzbach, the end of letters, there's a gematria where, so what's the last letter? So tough, right? Tough is 400. But then there's a gematria that the end of letters continue on. So tough is 400, right? And whatchamacallit? Chaf, right? Because it goes in order, right? End of chaf would be 500. And the mem is 600. So mem, stuma, that's the end of mem, he tough resh. So now if you take the word shalom, but recognizing that the end of mem is 600, it equals b'gematria 13 times 72, which is Yud Gimel Rachamim. So again, this whole storyline is capturing the inyan of the gila of Yud Gimel Rachamim that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he requested Imnam Mitzasichem Beinecha that it should just Imelech Hashem Bekerbeinu that you should come with us, and Hashem revealed, yes, Yud Gimel Rachamim, all there is me and you, and I'm Moichel everything, and I don't Cheshbonis Ein Cheshbonis Zeher, I make it work. That's Yud Gimel Rachamim. That's Shalom. That's ultimate Shalom Bayis, right? Shalom Bayis means Abba V'ima. It means absolute connection, panim v'panim, that's Shalom. And Shalom is Gematria Yud Gimel times 72. Shalom is also Rosh HaTevis. Shemam Machisel Oilam Vod. To eradicate the name of the enemy forever. That's the name, Yud Gimel Dalet Yud Chav Shin. That's the killing the Mitzri. That's also the word Shalom. Kisar and the Dikna Kshishin Lakaf Yudinin. The Yumis Rachman are connected to the beard. Beard hair, that's from the Kabbalah. So beard hair is different than hair on your head, whatever you have left of it is soft. Beard hair is coarser, right? So Kisar and the Dikna, so Yumis Rachman. So it's like it's Rachman, right? So why is it connected to coarse beard hair? Kisar and the Dikna Kshishin. The hairs of the beard are coarse, are tough, like kaf yadinin, to push away midas adin. So that's even, so in other words, the Yudim Zerachman recognize that there might be a makim for midas adin. The guy didn't do tshuva yet. Like, he's not worked out. Afal pikein Rachman. Because it's like ignoring everything, but again, it's that face-to-face, where there cannot be anything shtering. See, it's one thing if there's nothing in between, because the guy's a tzaddik. Okay. But let's say the guy wouldn't be a tzaddik, then maybe there would be something in between. And that's not face-to-face really, right? Real face-to-face is that there's all the reasons in the world for there to be something to share the shalom bayis between Hashem and this yid, but it's not happening. Because Hashem and him are mamish face-to-face. That's Yumas Rachamim. Despite the fact that there is a midas hadin that wants to go in between, afal pike, no. And that's the Yudimus Rachmim. That's Shalom, which is Yudimus Rachmim. Shema Machis Lanavot, to eradicate the name of the enemy. All there is the name of Hashem, and Hashem is all there is the name of Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Ukeshayim Chashmam, and when there's eradication of the enemy's name, Az Hashem Shalom, V'kisei Shalom, V'azi Yisholom Ba'olam. V'zeh Soy, and that's the secret, V'yikra Loi Hashem Shalom. That's the pasuk that in our story with Gidon. V'yikra Loi Havaya Shalom Ratzalaymer. Listen to this. Ratzalaymer, Lamed Vav Havayas. V'yikra Loi Hashem Shalom means like this. Yudke Vavke times 36 is also Gematria Shalom. So it's also that's why what's Lamed Vav, right? I say the number 36. What does it trigger? What does it go to? Lamed Vav Tzadikim, right? Tzadikim Nistarim, hidden Tzadikim, right? Then what's it mean? Tzadik Nistar, Chachas Magula, Ahav Musateris. Right? Then you know, like, it doesn't make sense on the outside, but this yid is connected to Rabbanu Shalom through and through, that there can't be any shter, right?
Every yid is a big tzaddik nister.
A big tzaddik nister, right? So he said, that's v'yikra loy havaya shalom. And so, okay, so that's the side of here. That's why the inyan of shalom is also a reference to a yichud between husband and wife. But such a yichud, where you'll see in a second that the word shalom, sometimes in the Svarim, is a reference to the zachar. And the word shalom is also sometimes a reference to the nekeva, to the point of where you can't even separate between the two of them. Take a look at Marmok number 8. Again, also from the Kelsi Yaakov over there, shalom u'b'china Shabbos, right? That's obvious. You say Shabbat shalom, right? Shabbos, zachar v'sham b'dibur echad, right? They're mamish one, k'noida. Ha'yisoid, the midah of yisoid, which is more the zachar, is nikra shalom. And he brings sources for that. The isha, which is the nekeva, also nikra shalom. K'may shalom v'chazal, ha'shar b'l isha, shar b'l shalom. Right, so shalom both means the zachar, it means the nekeva. Why? Because shalom means such a yichud face to face that you can't find it. You can't figure out where the zachar ends and the nekeva begins. It's mamash one, and that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is abavima, v'chulu v'chulu. That's what Gidon was being poyel. Okay, Hashem should bless us. We should be zeichet to go to that madrega upon a mamish. We be a skol tzedek with the Beis Hamikdash. Mer v'meinu amen.